Thank you, everybody, and I'm very happy to be here with you, and thank you for the honor of inviting me to be with you, accompany you in the new journey, a new chapter of our history for me and my family and for all our history as a church here. And today, I'd like to share this sermon with you because I feel has a lot of miscultural understanding sometimes, and it's closer to the tradition I grew up with. And here's the question, is as a person living between two worlds, in the East and the West, every time I go home, they say, do you like United States? What's good there? What do you like, the culture? And when I come here, people say, do you like it here or there more? And I always like, fine, this is a very difficult question to respond. But I found one thing. These people grew up in a very, in a community where people can't really have a sense of individualism. And we are here, live that very freely, and we enjoy that very much. It's good to think about a community very connected. Everybody knows everybody, knows what happened to your family. Everybody can tell you a history for hundreds of years about everybody. And that's the kind of community I grew up in. But the difficult part is also you always judge it by the criteria of the community. So you didn't have even the struggle, your personal struggle is not only belonging to you, but it's your personal struggling belongs to the community. So if you have a disease, it's not only your personal or your family problem, dealing with the grief or the loss or whatever happened, but it's actually dealing with how are you going to respond to the community? How are we going to deal with the community? And these people were really stripped down into everything. Money, they didn't have money, they didn't have land, they didn't have anything almost. And even the worst, they didn't have the dignity because the community gave them an explanation of, here is the answer for whatever happened in your life. You are sick because something happened in your life. You did a bad things in your life. You are not rich because you are missing the blessing of God. You are not the son of Abraham or Isaac or Joseph and all these ancient stories about the blessing is equal to the word of getting really rich and well established and everything is fine in your life. And Jesus was really fighting for these people and was trying to help them to stand up, not because of the power of the community, but because of the power of the Spirit inside us. And my sermon today is about the happiness and how to find the happiness. Is it within us or within the community? Happiness is the greatest desire of the human being. And we can spend days and read books and spend years even try to define the word during the history and in our own life. The whole world hangers for it, and it's awful to see some people seeking happiness sometimes in the wrong way. Most of us are seeking happiness in the wrong way that sometimes will produce misery. Sometimes we are leaning toward avoiding our difficulties, which could make us feel happy for a short time. But in the end, it will add to our problems. So we are just putting a bandage in a big wound and ignoring the reality. Is Jesus really asking us to deal with our problem with a closed eye or just pretend it's not there? Or Jesus is a fan of reality which we could really sink in the very dark side of the reality we are living in? Both sides are difficult to stick with. But Jesus is giving us a new way. We are living today in a very high season of campaigning to get more voters and to get people behind you. And let's go with Jesus and follow and see what kind of campaign he's fighting for and what kind of voters Jesus is seeking to get their attention and their vote. Jesus wanted to explain to his followers the true path to happiness. It's about truth and it's about hope. It's about touching reality and putting your foot on the ground, but in the same time, your eyes and your hand reaching out to the heaven and looking, that's not it, being on earth, but there is hope. There is a way out of that. He showed them a new way to live a new life through the Sermon on the Mount. And today we are going to talk about some of the Beatitudes. I'm not going to talk about this wonderful 8 Beatitudes, but I'm going to speak only about the first four. To determine what kind of person Jesus wants us to be and how truly to find purity in a world of sorrow and confusion and also hate. Go back to the time of Jesus Christ when Jesus was preaching to this crowd. There are many facts I want you to remember and be aware of, and what we call it, the context of the sermon. At this time, this country was called Palestine, was filled with many problems. The first problem, the country was occupied by a dictatorial military government, which is famous when we know it all, it's the Roman Empire. The people were treated as oppositions by the Romans. Workers paid 1/3 of their income in taxes. Racial prejudice was very common. Are you Jews, Samaritan, Arabs, whatever is there? So this was very common and accepted. And if you're holding the Roman citizenship, you're holding a lot of power and protection. And not to forget, slavery was a very common and widespread thing too. In response to all this problem in this Israel-Palestine community, here is what a few groups respond to these problems. Many answers was given by different sects of Jews. The first group called the Zealots. We can call them today by our modern term. Maybe they are the terrorists of our day today. And here is their title. Do not worry about your inner life, your inner peace. Just well established, develop your muscles, build an army, and your only hope is military might. And this was a favorite by some people. And even some of Christ's followers, the closest one, Judith, we think he was a believer or he close to this group, believing in redeeming the Jewish kingdom by the power, the physical power. And the second group is the Sadducees. And they said, survive by promise, by compromise. Make personal gain and the best bargain you can negotiate. Nothing about ethics. Whatever you can gain, whatever you can take, you just do it. You can change your statement. You can change where you stand or what you believe as much as you can gain. That's what their philosophy. Very pragmatic group. And the third group, the Pharisees. And they were the ones who were burdening people by explaining the Ten Commandments of what God gave to Moses. And here's what they said. Live a clean and pure life. As far as you follow our book, as far as you follow our orders, you are fine. You will be fine. God will take care of you. And all these responses weren't really enough for people. The whole region was occupied, as I said, by the Roman Empire. And I want you to think about, have you ever thought about living under occupation? And I know most of us, we are not that old to remember when United States was a British colony or French colony or whatever. So I'm glad we hear about it, we read about it. But we really didn't have the sense of living under occupation. Living under a system will say clearly and with no fear, you are a second or third or even tenth citizen in this country. I will tell you something. I got some of that under Mubarak regime. As I said, I'm from Egypt. 95% of my life, I lived under Mubarak regime. And here's what you feel. You lose your dignity. You do not expect to be treated with respect. The abnormal became the normal. And the worst one, under occupation or a dictatorial regime, you feel a stranger at home. You are valued by how much you have. Is it money, land, servant, houses, relationship with politicians or religious leader or police? and nothing about for what you are. And in the middle of this unfair, unjust, in this dark scene, we see a wonderful poor Galilean carpenter is coming out, climbing the mountain, telling us about there is a hope, there is a light. Here is my light and here is my salt for you, world. To let them know that he can feel and understand their hopes, fears, and confusion. And I love what I heard today when we shared the joys and the concern, because this is close to the reality. We live in a world not only about joy and not only about concern, not only about the dark side or the good side. We live in a world that was mixed with both. And the way we shared our stories, it showed how we are more in touch with the reality. When we see one member in our church is struggling and suffering, and we see the other members is rejoicing, and in all these, we all connected. The Sermon on the Mount is one of the most famous teachings of Jesus Christ. Not because it's fancy, not because it was new, but because really it's challenging people. The closer you come to Jesus Christ, is the more challenged you are. Your closeness is not by history, is not by how intelligent you are, it's not by all these wonderful gifts around you, but how much committed to these wonderful rules. And we see Jesus is bringing all these, I belong to you as a Jew, I am not the outsider, I am part of this community. And we have in Arabic a wonderful common statement about nobody can shake a tree unless you are a branch of it. You cannot shake a tree. You can blow a wind, you can try, but you are the outsider. You are a threat to people, to a community. You as a Presbyterian, maybe we see if there is somebody bringing a new vision, but he's not a Presbyterian or he don't belong to the community. We already see them as a threat. And we see ourselves a lot as a threat because of our differences. Jesus seemed very different. But at the same time, he said, I belong to you. Abraham is my father. And Matthew did a wonderful job when in the first chapter, he was trying to say, Jesus was born here. Jesus belonged to this community. Jesus is part of this religion. And Matthew was trying to say, hey, he's not a threat to you. He belongs to us. Yes, he's challenging us. Not every challenge carrying bad things, but every challenge could really take us to a new reality. And running through these Beatitudes very fast. The first Beatitude is about the poor. And many people will be offended because I preach about the poor a lot and think this Jesus was really pious and not speaking about the rich. I think it's not about the fight between the poor and the rich. I think it's the fight about the people who could not pick themselves. And the people lost the self-esteem. And they lost their inner peace. Poverty was a common for many people in this community. And Palestine, as I said, was under this occupation, a foreign power. Jesus saying you are in the center of the interest of God. Even you are powerless, in the eyes of others, you are worthy and you are so precious to me. That's the very clear message he's telling to you. Everybody's ignoring you because you don't have nothing on the surface attracting people to you. But I know the reality inside your heart and I welcome you. And the second Beatitude is about the mourners and about people who just really losing one thing after another. And the worst part of this group is really they lost even the right to express their sadness. Because when they do that, they bother their majority. They bring a very bad reality to others. We don't want to think about there is disease, there is sadness, there is loss. Let us enjoy our life. Let us move on and ignore the hard part. But Jesus say, you have the right to grieve and to express your feeling. If you start to open your mouth, the government will consider you are a potential rebel or a threat to the system, and maybe in a modern time you will be a terrorist. And if you start to open your mouth and talk about your God is not in your life and God is not really engaged in your life, here is the very fast explanation of God, of the religious leaders to you. You have this because there are some sins in your life. And even if you dig in and you didn't find one, maybe your parents did some sins, and that's why. So just imagine the whole burden, even not being able to shout out and express your grief and your really sadness. Most of them choose to keep their sadness inside their hearts to avoid the extra pain that came from the community. And as I mentioned in the beginning, the community is a wonderful thing, and we talk about that. We want to be a community. But extremely to the community I'm talking about in the Middle East, which is still survive, it's a community where really there is no sense of people even to practice their own need in a personal way or even as a small family. And the fourth, the third beatitude, is blessed are the meek and the humble. And we refer to those who are living under oppression on a daily basis. The Roman Empire was known to be a powerful and brutal regime. And at the same time, it rewards those who stayed loyal to Rome and not to their own community. And today we are going to talk about how we could really help these humble people, the people who are sitting in the darkness. We can bless the humble by bringing justice to oppressed people through our daily activities. Like when we shop, we can buy products that are committed to fair trade. And telling others about those workers and where these products came from. Put a face on every product. Put a face on every company. Buy and live our daily life with a Christian conscience. The fourth beatitude is, blessed are those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake. This group is not just poor, they are the poorest. They are struggling to have bread, which is only nutrition the poor can get. And I know we have a cultural different cultural understanding. When we think about the bread here, as far as I lived in USA, bread is something on the table. But for us still in the Middle East, bread is the essential piece on the table. And you call people poor when they cannot have the bread. People eat the bread, the poorest one. It's very cheap and it's easy to have the bread. So when Jesus say, I'm the bread of life, Jesus referring, he's the essential. He's not just one of the ingredients on the table. According to historical facts, the region, the Middle East, was the basket of wheat for Rome. Can you imagine living in a land that is so rich with food, yet there is no food for you? Here God's promise to intervene to protect them by asking us to remember his promise to take care of them. If you are a true follower to me, do not just form a circle. Do not keep me away, but just help me to shine through you to others. So God support through us in a different ways. The Beatitudes are not an entry level pass to get to the heaven. They are an invitation to examine ourselves on a daily basis. It is helpful to think of this principle as a necklace that people can see and experience when they see us. They are not separate beads. They are different beads in one necklace, and that's what form our identity as a Christian. And here is my last words I want to leave with you. I want to think and challenge with me about an image of Jesus Christ. If you want to draw an image of Jesus Christ today, what kind of image you want to leave? Does our Jesus stand between us and others as a bridge or as a wall? Do you see Jesus putting his hands up to keep us apart because we are a fight and we cannot get along, so at least everybody stay away? Or do we see Jesus opening his hands and hold us together and knows we are different, but we still can work together and we still can act and walk together. You cannot afford to be separate or to neglect each other anymore. That's what Jesus is telling us today. And here is the kind of faith, regardless if you are Presbyterian, whatever denomination, here's the kind of faith I am interested in. Is our faith helping others to grow or to die? Is our faith helping others to experience justice or injustice? Is our faith helping us to give or to take? Is our faith spreading love or hate? Is our faith helping others to free or to be slave? We are called to act and teach these beatitudes to those who are lost. And the beatitudes teach us that we are different from the world around us. We are different in what we respect, poor in spirit. We are different in what we seek, the righteousness. We are different in what we do. And we are different in how we find happiness. And as Barton Hill said, happiness is not destination. It's a method of life. Amen.